The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, January 18th, 2014. My name is Ray Mora, and right here,
Brian White,
of course, here. And we're going to discuss not only about the NFL playoffs, we'll also discuss about the Super Bowl preview. Possibly have a columnist on the show because he's covering the game right now for the Pats and Colts. And more importantly, about the Knicks and their struggles and the Nets and where they go in different directions. And of course, the Jets hiring of Todd Bowles and his career. So I want to start with the Seahawks and the Packers. And I have to say one thing. I am incredibly, incredibly shocked of what just happened. It was 4 minutes left into the game. The Packers were up 19-17, mm-hmm. had all the momentum. And then Wilson scores on that touchdown 2:10 to go. They go for an onside kick, and the Packers bobbled the ball. They got it back. And then that's what I knew. I feel like the game was over for them. But then Rodgers went back, and then they tied it, went to overtime. But Wilson sealed the deal with the throw to a receiver who threw four picks to the same receiver, four picks, that the fifth one was a lucky one, and they won the game.
This is why we love the game. I mean, honestly, this is why we love the game. When you look at the first half of the game, everyone thought the Seattle Seahawks was done.
Yeah.
Right? It was like punching the Packers into the Super Bowl. And then when you look at that comeback, Russell Wilson just elevated his game, his stature, everything with that final play in the overtime. So this is why we love the game. And that's why players play the game. Right? It's just the entertainment you get from that. It was literally two tails of a half. The first half, Packers had everything going. The defense was clicking. Offense was clicking. Seahawks just couldn't get anything. Russell Wilson had four interceptions in that game. You know, it was just ridiculous. And then you come in the second half, things got closer. It was 19-17. You know, things got really close. It became a really entertaining, competitive game.
Yeah.
And then you get into overtime, and Wilson made that throw. That just going to elevate him up to that. I just can't wait. It was a beautiful game to watch.
Let's just recap from that
game. Excited.
Yeah, let's just recap. The first play of the game, actually the first drive, let's see, Packers for Rodgers, he threw a pick to Sherman, and that was just like, he just picked it off. Like, he was on the throw. Then Wilson comes in, throws the ball, gets picked off back. Packers are in field goal position. Which I felt like McCarthy throughout this whole game was being conservative. Because there were opportunities for him. 4th and 1. 4th and goal. They could have gone for it. Could have ran it in. Could have done a pass for Rodgers. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback right there. You could have done a pass for him. 4th and goal. 4th and 1. Now, I know that it's in Seattle and it's a tough environment. And that defense is stout. We understand that. But this is the playoffs, right? This is a championship game. You gotta take chances, even if you can't make it or not. You gotta take a chance, and I felt like he was being too conservative. Then there was opportunities for them where Rodgers had some receivers open and just miscatched one of them. Like, literally, I know the pressure was coming to them, but despite Wilson struggling through that whole game with the four interceptions, which he never had in his career, they still won the game, the Seahawks.
Man, I mean, when you look at Seattle defense, they literally stepped their game up.
They're not human. But they're not human.
You know, they. You cannot complain for how many players got paid well in the offseason. When you look at how many players that came back, got their money, and then now they're back going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That defense, they stepped up, they calmed the game down, and they get plays well when it was supposed to be executed. And that gave life to the offense, in my opinion. So when you look at it, the defense made stops and the offense gave and they executed. And it was good coaching on Pete Carroll's part.
Yeah, it was.
You
know, he made some good strides.
He made some solid plays that you didn't see that coming from Pete Carroll.
He made decisions that makes you feel like he's a Hall of Fame coach because of, first of all, that fake field goal.
That's what I think made a turn of transition in the whole game.
Fake field goal and the onside kick that defined his legacy right now as a gutsy call.
For sure.
And, I mean, just looking from that, I mean, what can you say about Rodgers? He played on a calf, like barely even walking. Like, he saw limping through for that last drive before the overtime, limping through for 1st and 10. And it's like, he has to do whatever it takes for him to be successful. And then you got a situation right there where he had an opportunity to throw to Lacy, unless he didn't pay attention. That play right there, they could have actually drove more to a field goal, even for a touchdown.
There are so many things that went on in this game that you can literally break down for hours, right? You have offensive schemes, defensive schemes.
Yeah.
You have misplays. You had plays that were executed. What we know that in the end all be all, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. You can't take that from him, right? He's also 7-5 in the playoffs. But you do know that he has the build of a champion. He won a Super Bowl, but he played solidly with the injury. You know, you have to give him respect for that. But you also look at Russell Wilson. He's mentally tough as well. He had four interceptions.
Four picks. So the same receiver.
You know, same direction.
Why is he throwing him the ball?
Because he saw something.
Four times?
He definitely.
All four times he got picked.
Up. Building up to the championship game, what everyone was talking about was how Russell Wilson can see the plays before he actually makes them.
Yeah.
Right? When he rolls out of the pocket and he makes a play, it's like he sees it before he actually executes it. So, when it comes to decision, Russell Wilson is not known for making bad decisions. So, he saw something on Kurt's end that made him keep going back to course. Even when he failed four times, he went a fifth time and they won the game.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, is he trusts his receiver that much to where he went to him consistently, failed four times, and succeeded the fifth time. That's a great trust he had in his teammate. And that's what you look at him like, right, now you are a great player. You are a great leader because you show trust. As the quarterback, as the person of that team, you show trust in your wide receiver, and that's what won them the game.
So beautiful. Yeah, emotional, tearing moment, actually, after the game. Russell Wilson, he was crying on the sideline.
It was a great moment to see.
I mean, that almost made me want to cry, to be honest. I mean,
he was a third-round quarterback. You know, the third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I know.
And to see back-to-back Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, he was just, that was unbelievable. And then you see Sherman at the end got hurt. But I don't know how long he's probably going to be healthy by the time the Super Bowl comes. So
I would like to see him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you know he's going to be talking up trash. You just know he's going to be entertaining for the Super Bowl. I can't wait.
What do we actually, seeing from this game, what do we see from Seattle as an organization moving forward?
Well, you see that, one, they're together. Everyone's on the same page. When they let go of Percy Harvin, there was no one that disagreed with the decision. You know, when they paid Richard Sherman the money, there was no problem. When they let go of Golden Tate, there was no issue. Because in the first half, it looked like they needed Percy Harvin and Tate in that first half against the Packers. Right? It showed togetherness. It showed that, listen, you know what, we're on the same team. It showed great coaching. It showed that the staff did a good job with the coaching. Their cohesiveness is to be respected and admired. Because they're really a gelled unit. And you see it with the adversity. They started good in the regular season. They struggled, and then they came back. They came to the NFC Championship game. They struggled, and then they came back. So they have a resiliency at the team, and that builds character. So their character right now shows that they are a family. They are a football family that's about winning that chip.
Talent wins championship, and then...
And they invested in the draft.
And repeating takes character.
Yes.
That's what the great Mr. Barry says. Mm-hmm. Now that they're in the Super Bowl, it looks like the lopsided bet right now, 31-7 pass. So now that the Seattle Seahawks are in the Super Bowl, what can we expect from against the Patriots?
Well, the thing that I'm looking forward to is, you know, Tom Brady's not going up against the Giants, which just seemed like it was just his Achilles heel. It's a different defense, but Seattle doesn't have the same pass rushers as the Giants did the two times they defeated the Patriots. So when you look at it from that standpoint, it's a different type of matchup for Tom Brady. It's the corners, right? He had problems with the corners, and now he has to look at the linebackers. So the different defensive schemes.
And Cam Chancellor, probably the best safety in the game.
Still a, you know, difficult defense to play against. But it's a different type of defense that I think has a better type of matchup for Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady, he literally throws to all of his wide receivers and running backs. Right? So I don't think he's going to have as much problem with Richard Sherman as many as Aaron Rodgers did.
But Cam Chancellor's an X-Factor, in my opinion. He's going to probably lock down Gronkowski.
But for me, I think the linebackers are more is what's going to win the game defensively-wise for Seattle against the Patriots than safety. That's just my opinion. When you look at it from that standpoint, you know, Gronkowski is a big factor. He's healthy, you know. So when you look at it from those matchups, there's so many great matchups offensively and defensively with the Patriots and Seattle, vice versa. Patriots have a solid defense. And, you know, with Russell Wilson and his mobility, you're going to see that matchup offensively and defensively with Seattle and the Patriots. It's intriguing to us. I can't wait.
What can we expect from Seattle's offense against the Patriots secondary?
Execution. Definitely execution. You're going to see a lot more roll-up plays from Russell Wilson. You'll see him use his legs more mobility.
I think they should be more of the read option, in my opinion. Because I felt like when they did
they're
going
to run the ball. Yeah, they're going to try to run the ball.
Against the Packers at the end of the game, they started to feel more momentum. Wilson started to run the football more. Mm-hmm. They started to get more out of bursts against the linebackers, even against Clay Matthews. In my opinion, if the Seahawks are going to win against the Patriots, they have to run the football a lot more than they thought they would against the Packers.
And they can't turn the ball over.
They can't turn it four times like that. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl
They're going to lose the game
if
you turn over the ball four times to Tom Brady, without a doubt.
So Wilson's going to have to do more read options.
Who do you have with the Super Bowl pick, though? You have the Patriots or the Seahawks?
Well, we can't say right now if the Patriots are winning right now. But
if the Patriots win, they're up by 20 points.
Which looks like they're winning right now. I picked the Seattle Seahawks. I feel like they're going to repeat as champs. The reason why I say that is because that defense alone could probably win against the Patriots' offense. And I know how great Tom Brady is. We know how great he is.
He executes.
We know how he good at execution. But I feel like sometimes the Super Bowl for him is like he doesn't really get up to the big moments. Even though he's won three of them, the last two has exactly won against the Giants in his favor.
But that's more of Eli Manning playing better than Tom Brady not playing well. If you look at the Super Bowl, Tom Brady played well in the Super Bowl. He always came down to
he never faced a defense like this, though. I know the Giants pass rushers.
The Giants had pass rushers that gave him hell. Literally put him on his back. The most I've ever seen.
They really much wrecked
him. But it's a different defense. The Seattle defense lean more. The pass rushers are great. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they're going to get to Tom Brady as much as the Giants did. But I do think their linebacker core, their safety, and they have so many great players in all these positions. It's going to give, if the Patriots do win, it's going to give the Patriots hell in the Super Bowl.
But I'm saying also that Rodgers, I know Rodgers is a person where he can escape and everything. Brady's not that type of player. So they're going to blitz a lot more.
But he slides well.
Yeah, he slides well.
He definitely slides up in the pocket.
Brady's not like exactly a mobile quarterback. So they're going to blitz a lot more probably. And then they're going to put more pressure on him and make the bad throw. And Sherman picks off Sherman and stuff like that. So, I mean, it could go either way. But then you could also make the case for Brady with Gronkowski, because Gronkowski, in my opinion, is the X factor. Because I feel like to neutralize Seattle's defense a little bit, not too much, but to neutralize them well, the tight end has actually been the mismatch of them against anybody. But now that they got Cam Chancellor back, I feel like the tight end is going to be out of the question, because Cam Chancellor is going to probably lock down Gronkowski in the Super Bowl. He's probably going to be the number one person on him. I mean, it could go either way.
I just can't wait to see whoever play. I'm excited for the Super Bowl.
I mean, Sherman's going to talk a lot of trash against Brady. I know that.
I mean, they're definitely going to build. It's going to be an entertaining process leading up to the Super Bowl. It's going to be 2 weeks of trash talk for the Super Bowl. They are the returning champions, so they show that they are legit because they won and came back and won. And that haven't happened since the Patriots. The Patriots' last team to do back-to-back to the Super Bowl. So that shows something that this team is special.
To see how it wins against the Patriots, you think it's passing the torch of
for that era, because of how dominant the Patriots were, you know, defensively and offensively, it would be a passing the torch in that way. Because when you look at it, this Seattle defense, in my opinion, is better than the 2003 Patriots defense.
Yeah.
And that was...
It's better than the Bears' defense. Look at statistically right now. They're better than the 86. Better than the 2000s.
Ravens?
They're better than the 2000 Ravens defense. This defense alone is probably the best it's ever been in history. And
I'm not going to go that far.
You can go back to the Steelers era in the 60s with Terry Bradshaw and that defense.
I'm not going
to
go that far. You know why I'm not going to go that far?
Why?
Because there have been so many rule changes in the NFL when it comes to this play-wise and defensive schemes in terms of hitting the quarterback. Back in the day, you know, it was more smash-mouth football. I think what Seattle Seahawks do so well is that they play schemes as well with their cornerbacks, right? And they literally, they have a lot of interceptions, they have a lot of turnovers, and they create turnovers. And they don't literally have to smash you in the mouth, like how the 2000 Ravens did it, how the 85 Bears did it. Now, 0-3-0-4 has really good linebackers in Teddy Bruschi and guys of that nature, has some really good cornerbacks, but it's not smash smart football of how it was traditional, these traditional great teams were. They're a complete defensive unit where they have defensive ends, linebackers, corners, and safeties. They literally are great on all types, size of the football team.
Well,
I love
then,
it.
Well, then you can also say, I feel like comparing to the Seattle's team as a whole, they compared to the Steelers of the 60s. You know, with Terry Bradshaw, those boys, and that defense that's legit.
I mean, that's a good comparison because then they did dominate for so many years.
Russell Wilson, Bradshaw comparison a little bit more, but you know, Russell Wilson is more of the mobile quarterback.
I think he's better than Bradshaw, too.
Yeah, he's better. Well, athletically, he is better than Bradshaw. He could do so much more. I mean, it could go either way. Now, aside from that organization, we got to talk about another organization. That's New York Jets.
So we're leaving the playoffs to talk about...
Well, the playoffs is...
The Jets.
Well, like I said, I mean...
I love the Jets. I love the new hire.
You love Todd Bowles?
I love the new hire. One, he's been in the game for so long.
8 seasons right? in the NFL he's played.
And then he was coaching for a while.
Yeah.
For assistant coaching. So he's a respectable man. I love that new hire. It's a good, solid... He's a defensive genius.
Yeah.
Right? So, defensively, you're not losing much from Rex. He is more controlled than Rex was. So, you're not going to have any Super Bowl outbursts or nothing of that nature. I really love this hire. What say you?
I mean, let's look at his resume so far. He played 8 seasons in the NFL to safety for Washington Redskins and won a Super Bowl with them. Mm-hmm. He also played for the 49ers for 1 season. He was a defensive coordinator for Morehouse College and Gambling State. And then he was a defensive back for the Jets, actually, for 1 year. Then also for the Browns and for the Cowboys. Then he became assistant head coach. And he had actually a 2-1 record when he was interim head coach for a little bit. Then he was, of course, a coordinator for the Eagles and the Cardinals. And they've done pretty solid. Now, him as a person, they describe him as a hard worker, aggressive defense. Now, I'm curious to see more of what he does with the offense. Because, you know, we get all these defensive coaches, but what kind of offense is he going to have? Now, I've been hearing rumors of him playing more of the style of the player more than the scheme itself. So he's going to play the strengths of let's say it's Geno Smith as a quarterback in next season. He's going to play more of his strengths more than just forcing him to play in the system where he's not comfortable.
Which is a good idea. But I think the most important thing is, you know, which offensive coordinator is he going to hire?
Actually, they hired already one. It's Chad Gailey.
And that's a good hire. So then we look at it, is this coaching staff is what's really going to see how the Jets are going to, how well the Jets are going to do. Whenever you are a new coach, you know, your coach, who are you going to hire to come in, you know, to be offensive coach, offensive coordinator? These hires is then going to see how well you can put a coaching team together to then put the football team together and how you're going to coach them. Because they're different. Each coach have different personality.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm happy for the hire. I'm happy how quickly they made a hire and not let us just wait and drag it out. Let's see what they can do. I really do think the Jets aren't that far off to being a playoff team. So I'm really interested to see the coaching move that he makes. The draft, and the draft is coming up. You know, I want to see how well they draft.
Well, we thought they were a playoff team this year. I mean, just thinking
of this. You thought they were going to be a playoff team.
Okay,
I thought they're going to be 5-5 in an 800 team. I thought they're going to be an 800 team. I never really. I trusted the Giants more than I trusted the Jets. You know this. I've never been a Jets. I was never sold on the Jets.
We'll get to the Giants too.
I was never sold on the Jets. But
why were you sold on the Jets?
It was just
the pieces that they had. It wasn't like.
I thought Rex was being pressured to win.
He was.
Right? I felt that preseason. I said it on the show. I don't trust the Jets. I don't trust the Jets. And I was right for the reason. Now, injuries happen, and I wish nothing wrong and bad on any player. Injuries happen, and some players never filled the position as they should. So this time around, I'm not going to go crazy with no, you know, huge prediction, nothing of that nature for the Jets. But I do think they're making the right decision to go in the right direction.
in terms of the head coach, then.
Yeah, in terms of the head coach.
And the GM. What is the question about the quarterback position?
Let's see how they're doing the draft. I like Geno. He's coming in the third year.
So you think Geno could be the person that could lead the Jets?
You never know. I do think that he can play well enough to be an 8-8, 9-17 with the talent that they have now. So with that knowledge that we know, I think you have to give him an opportunity to prove himself. And the draft is coming up. But I do like Geno Smith to get one more shot, one more season to see what he has.
What if they draft wide receiver?
They need so many positions, though.
Well, it's one more important position as of right now. Because in my opinion, they should actually address the O-line position.
They need offensive line.
O-line positions in the past. Like, look at the Cowboys, for instance. Now, I know they lost to the Packers, but that O-line
is phenomenal.
Really good.
But look how long it took them to build the O-line. It took years. The Jets, what's so crazy, the Jets was known to have a really good O-line for, you know, the first half of the 2000s, right? So, and they made some really good acquisitions in the draft for the offensive line. I think they have to focus on O-line first. Then, in my opinion, they need some D-backs. They need some defensive backs. One or two wide receivers need to be there.
Yeah.
With speed, and they can run the route. One or two more safety. They have some guys that wants to get paid coming up in the agency. It's going to be an interesting year for free agency and the draft for the Jets.
Well, what are your five concerns for them?
Well, offensive line.
That's number one.
Defensive backs. I think they need one or two guys defensive.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, three. I would like for them to get some more linebackers, even though they have some really solid young guys.
Yeah.
And the fifth.
That's tricky. It's tricky, isn't it? Is it quarterback?
I think quarterback. Got a young quarterback.
You think well, Winston or Mariota will make a difference?
Oh, if we get Winston, I don't trust Mariota.
You don't trust Mariota?
I don't trust him. I trust Winston. He's big NFL body. He has the NFL body.
Physically, he has the NFL body.
He has the NFL body.
He can make all the plays, all the tight window plays, all the passes. I know he didn't play well against Oregon, but, you know, I didn't know why he couldn't play well. It just got outplayed that game. But I feel like mentally he's there. He could actually prepare his players, motivate his players to play better.
And I think because he has experienced so many adversities in his college days.
All the off-the-field issues.
All those are things that mature him quicker for the NFL. Because when you go to the NFL, you normally experience that the first two or three years. Because he went through that in college, right? And he had to deal with the consequences, right? The embarrassment, all these things that make a young man's character. I thought he handled himself well. Put himself back together and move forward. So he showed that he has character. He showed that he has heart. Right? He's well spoken. Some of the situation that he's been in, you know, you don't like to see walking out of the store, not paying for the milk, you know, all this type of stuff. We all know of the sexual harassment case and all this type of stuff. But I like Winston. As the NFL-ready quarterback, I trust him. I think he can be a solid quarterback that can win some games and win some playoff games for you.
Now, I know when he's not like Mariota, the nice boy, clean, don't do anything on the field, trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see more of between Mariota and Winston because you have one quarterback who's playing a system that's based in the NFL, you know, on the center. Yeah, one quarterback plays shotgun most of the time. And that's why a lot of analysis they criticize on Mariota in terms of him playing the shotgun pistol more.
He's going to take him longer. It's going to take Mariota longer to get accustomed to
adjust to
the NFL system. While Winston, he's already played in the NFL-type system, so he's already accustomed to it. That's why I like Winston more. But we'll see what happens. If the Jets could get any of them, and there's some other underrated quarterback. I think Mariota is overrated.
But I think why is that overrated?
I think he's got more on the hype of the season he had and not on the body of work in terms of NFL ready.
He does better on the run than another quarterback, but he's not well in the pocket.
He doesn't do well in the pocket. In the NFL,
if
you're not great in the pocket, you have a short career. You know, even if you're good on your feet, in the NFL, when you get hit, it hurts. You know, it's not where you can run over players like in college. You definitely have to be in pocket and make plays with your arm. And I don't think Mariota has showed that in his college career.
What do you think of the national game? Ohio State.
Fantastic. I mean, it's number one rated.
A third string quarterback. For a running back, that's Marshawn Lynch's son.
This story is crazy. Yeah. The byline was just great. And I like the game.
Marshawn Lynch's son, first out. defense. Tell you, man. Let me tell you something about that running back. That running back is phenomenal, okay, what he just did to that defense. Just keeps on running. He gets stronger as the game goes on. I'm telling you, he's going to be coming out of the draft. A lot of teams are going to need him.
And the quarterback is going back to
Ohio, which so. I don't have any problem with, really, because I felt like as a student athlete, you always want to make sure you graduate with your degree and then you play in the NFL. Now, I also felt like even though he played three games where they're the big games, I felt like he still wasn't ready. I feel like he has to play a little bit more and earn his spot, get his degree, and then maybe you'll see him in the NFL probably next year, maybe the other year after.
But he is leaving some money on the table going back
to
college.
He is, but...
I agree with it. I like his decision.
From an economical standpoint, though, not more of like the decision to go to the NFL and see what happens.
Going back to college, you're going to get more experience, whether he starts or not, because now you don't know.
He has education. It's important.
And then he'll have more experience in that role and just enjoy college life more before he goes to the NFL.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a problem with that. But Urban Meyer, I mean, that guy...
He can coach.
He's the goal of college. I mean, you got a third-string quarterback.
He can coach.
Yeah, Tim Tebow won a national championship as well.
Two.
Yeah, two. So I'm saying, like, this guy can coach. I mean, the Oregon coach is pretty good, too. He went all the way with Mariota and everything, but now they got a lot of pieces lost, and the college is going to be something else. So, you know, why don't I get to the Giants right now? I want you to answer this question before we take a break. I want to answer this one more question. Has Odell Beckham Jr. saved everybody's job?
Yes, for sure. In all this,
hold that thought. We'll explain that. I'm gonna take a quick break here on Sports Talk 12:40 a.m. Yeah, got you all hyped.
I got me
perfect,
all hyped.
Perfect time to break right
got
here.
Me all hyped.
Sports Talk 12:40 a.m. in Long Island.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WDBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WDBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, ride share, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk 1240. I am Brian White. I'm with my partner, you know, Raymond Mora.
Yeah, right here.
Yes.
In the house.
Exactly.
In the flesh. Everything going around us right now that the Pats are dominating the Colts. I'm surprised our fan here, Elwell Jones, I hope he's listening to the show, tell us about the Colts experience of getting a beat down. I want to hear his reaction and all that. And it just stinks because I actually thought the Colts would win this game. Just because,
really?
Because I thought the passing of the torch had to be complete. Him beating Brady, then going to face Wilson, having that clash debate, all
no,
that stuff.
No. You know, before we jump into the Colts and Patriots,
yeah,
I have to go back and answer to the question that you asked me about.
Yeah, of course.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, explain how he saved everybody's job. Because clearly he did, if you think about it.
Listen, when they drafted him, they were high on him. And he had speed. He wasn't the greatest route runner, but so he had potential. Once the main guy went down, they said, okay, let's give this kid a try. And then he made amazing catches. And then week after week, he's just putting up big numbers as a rookie. Right? So he was the player to watch in a horrible season. He was entertaining.
Absolutely. He made incredible
play
after play.
He had chemistry
with
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Eli Manning is the franchise player. Right? So defensively, they were horrible. Offensively, they showed life. The reason why he saved everyone's job is because the Giants now look like they have something to work with for next season. Right? So now you look at it. Okay, you know what? 2 years in a row, we went under 500. This is not the Giants' way. However, by going through our adversity, we have this new kid that can really play. Right? So when you look at it, now we have the wide receiver coming back. There could be a good two tandem.
Yeah.
So when you look at it from that point, you know, Tom Coughlin, in my opinion, should be fired. I think he's reigning up. He won his two Super Bowl. He's borderline Hall of Fame. You know, he's borderline a Hall of Fame coach. When you look at his number for the Giants, they're not great. It's just that they won two really good Super Bowls, entertaining Super Bowls. Right? But Odell Beckham Jr. saved the general manager's job. He saved the coach's job. He saves a lot of people's job with his play and the entertaining value that he brought to the table. That was the most important thing. Yes, he was good. We've seen a lot of players who are good in this league, but they don't have the entertaining value. He entertained players. His catches, like you wanted to, you know what? The Giants aren't playing for anything, but let's see what Beckham Jr. do this week. Let's see what type of catches he have. Let's see how many touchdowns he gets from Eli. That's the type of questions you're asking on a weekly basis. Even though you knew the Giants weren't going to do anything, just the fact that he was just playing so well, he gave you a reason to watch. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the reason I think everyone didn't get fired as they should have had it not been a budding superstar come out of this. Because he's a rookie, right? So now we're going to see how he did his sophomore year. So now we have something to look forward to.
So like,
with Victor Cruz coming back.
Well, yeah. How him and Victor Cruz going to sync that? Because Victor Cruz is more of a slot receiver. You have now Beckham more of a deep route.
But that's what makes it so interesting. So now you can go deep with Beckham. And then Victor Cruz, you can hit him on the slot. So then you have to worry about Cruz in the slot.
Yeah.
Who can always hit you big for a big play. And Beckham Jr. going deep. And we all know the Giants love using tight ends. Right, they need to draft some good tight ends this year and see what we're going to do with that. But they love, so you know, you have three options now. Right, you have the deep ball, you have a tight end, and now you have the route runner coming back in and the slot receiver. And the Giants, I think they're going to bring back some good running backs, and they love running backs that can catch in the backfield. So I'm not worried offensively for the Giants. I'm worried on the defensive end because they were just horrible defensively. It was just horrible to watch. And they're my favorite team, but oh my goodness. Just want to just barf sometimes. Because, you know, Eli Manning played well this season. A lot of people don't talk about how well he played.
Yeah.
But he played well. And he had chemistry with a lot of players. I'm excited to see about the Giants season coming up.
What do you think of the hiring Steve Spagnuolo back with the
defensive coordinator? I love it. You know, I love it because he struggled with the Rams. You know, he went, got the Rams head coaching job. He did horrible. Obviously, was But by him coming back, okay, let's build. He was really good defense. A lot of these players know him. You know, Kiwanuka was there when he was there. There's some of these players were still there when they won the Super Bowl the first time when he was a defensive coordinator. So he brings back that type of freshness. Like, not freshness, but to say this, something that they know. You know, they bring back that. And he brings something, some similarity back to that squad. They loved him. They didn't want him to go when he went to the Rams, but he had to take the opportunity to see what he could do as a head coach. But when him coming back, I don't think it's going to be a long marriage.
Yeah.
I really don't. But give him, you know, 1 year, 2 years to just to see what way to go. And they need that stability. That's the word I'm looking for. They need that stability to say, all right, you know what? We know what he did the first time. So now we trust him. You know, he was here for the first Super Bowl. We know he's going to use our defensive end. You know he's going to use linebackers because he used a lot of linebackers back when they he used it, you know, back then it was you had Strahan and you had Tuck for the defensive end and you had the linebackers, right? And Kiwanuka was put in linebacker. He was drafted at a defensive end, but they put him in as a linebacker. And then they had the safety and then they had, you know, the quarterback. So that similarity that – and it was a similar system after he left that they used – I think that that's going to bring back the defense. I don't think they're going to be great, but by having him back, and he has a really good relationship with Tom Coughlin, I think brings back the Giants as being a family, a football family in that sense.
I look at the Giants, I look at a little class in high school, the same professor, the same people. You have a lot of people, students that are just repeating, and they're in the same class. Yeah, the same coach, same professor. And then I look at it from this perspective. Tom Coughlin is like they're holding on to him. Just like in school, you're holding on to that professor just for a little while. He's not doing as well. You know, you're getting bad reviews from students saying, oh, they're not doing well in class. They're not getting their grades right. Parents are complaining, stuff like that. And then I look at Eli Manning, the person who's supporting him. I can see him as more of the assistant of principal or something like that believes that he's been successful over the past and maybe it's time to move on and just holding on to them. But then I feel like for them this year, it's almost like for any teacher to break out of that slump so then he could be either in that school or go to another school. Like for Coughlin, stay with this team, retire, or go to another team. So this is an important year for the Giants, in my opinion, because if he doesn't do well this year, likely he's going to get fired, and he should get fired if they don't make the playoffs again, retire, or just go to another team that looking for a coach with Super Bowl experience and knows how to win and brings out players in him.
I agree with you. I thought he was supposed to be fired from last season, remember. But when you look at it, it just shows the character of the Mora family and just how in high esteem that they hold Tom Coughlin for the two championships, you know, for winning the divisions multiple times. Even though it's in the past, you can tell he is still hired because of it.
Yeah.
You know, because the type of season, Eli Manning had a really good season this year. Right? He had over 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, you know, 10 or 14 interceptions. You know, he did really well. A lot of people didn't talk about it just because of the winning record. And Odell Beckham Jr. was just, you know, awesome.
Yeah, save everybody's job.
Exactly. But Eli Manning played well. So you know you have the old Eli Manning is back. Right? Because then he had an injury. He had surgery in the off season. So now coming for the following season, I'm looking to see, all right, what can they do different from this past season? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have two losing seasons. You need to build your offensive line. You need to get some linebackers. You need defensive backs. You need some more safeties. You know, your rushes, you have talented rushes, but for some reason, they never got any amount of pressure on the quarterbacks as they normally would. So all these problems that I think Spagnuolo is going to solve, because that's his specialty, his defense, and to rush. He loves to rush two passes. I think the Giants are going to be a good story. I don't think they're going to do great in the playoff, but I think they make the playoff, maybe be a 9-7, 10-6 team, and then see what happens in the playoffs.
What are they going to do in the draft?
Oh, offensive line, for sure. Offensive line and defense. They need offensive and defensive line. They need D-backs. For years, even though they did well in the free agency to get safeties and defensive backs, the Giants haven't done well in drafting defensive backs. They haven't really done well in drafting defensive backs. They get one and two here, but they have done a good job in acquiring free agencies for safeties and you know, cornerbacks and that nature. They need to get a lot of good, solid offensive line in the draft, defensive line in the draft. I would love for them to get one or two linebackers. You know, Kiwanuka did okay, but it looked like it's time for them to invest in some young players in the linebacker position. Defensive end, I think Pierre Paul is going to have a better season coming up than he had this past season. There's no way he's just not going to have more than 10 sacks. I don't think with the defensive coordinator coming back to the Giants, I don't think Pierre Paul have this bad of a season. So I think Pierre Paul gets anyway over 10 sacks.
Yeah.
Personally, I think 15 sacks sounds around solid for him. But they definitely need defensive tackle. They need linebacker. They need linebackers and cornerbacks for sure on the defensive side. Offensive side, they need running backs. Because they had injury. They had injury problem in the running back game. They need offensive tackles, like at least four, because there's so many guys got injured and retired last season. Wide receivers, they're good. They need a tight end. They need a tight end that's going to stay. Because every time the Giants get a tight end, they do well, and then they leave in free agency or something and get more money. So then they need a tight end. But the Giants do need a couple of players offensively and defensively. And they normally do a good job.
Well, we'll see what they do moving forward. It's time from New York team to New York team. Let's talk about the Rangers and Islanders. Now, I'm not exactly the biggest hockey fan around.
But it's a great year of hockey.
But it's
in
been
New
a
York.
Great year of hockey. And,
great
you know,
year of hockey in New York.
Seeing all these tweets out from stats from hockey fans I follow and also friends I have, especially in York with one of my friends. You know, I watch a lot of hockey, but when I saw this game, Islanders and Rangers, it was pretty entertaining, even though the Islanders really just dominated that game physically and mentally. I mean, they just 3-0. Lundqvist could do whatever he can. He's one of the best goalies in the league. And, it was terrific because the Rangers are hot and the Islanders are hot. And the Islanders are now number one, and the Rangers are right there behind them, getting closer to the number one seed. But I mean, look at them from perspective, from rankings. You have goals per game, Rangers are eighth, and the Islanders are fourth. Goals against are fourth for the Rangers, and Islanders are 21st. And the power play, the Rangers are actually 11th, and the Islanders are 14th. But I know it's still probably into the middle of the season right now. What do you expect from the Rangers?
I mean, I don't think the Rangers are going to drop off much. I think they're going to stay on the course and play consistent good hockey as they have been doing.
Yeah, Rick Nash is actually the one who's stepping up, and that's the one who's been choking in last year in the Stanley Cup.
You know, and he stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, Lundqvist is Lundqvist. He's a great, he's great at what he does.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that New York team, there's two New York teams that's doing well.
And nobody can talk about
we've had such a horrible year in sports for the traditional popular teams in New York.
Don't even get me started.
So when you look at it from that perspective, thank you, Rangers, and thank you, Islanders. And, you know, it's the last year of the Islanders being in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Next year, they're going to transition
to
Barclays Center.
Yeah.
So, it's just a great year to how well they're playing last season in the Coliseum. It's just a great run. It's good to see good hockey in New York. It's good sports in New York. It's just refreshing to see after having a horrible season in basketball and NFL and stuff of the nature. Just refreshness to turn on it. I'm not a big hockey fan, as you know.
Yeah,
right?
Me either.
But the Rangers and Islanders game was a very good game to watch, even for a non-hockey fan like myself. I love hockey in the playoff. I love hockey playoffs.
Yeah.
But to watch a regular season game, to have the beer can open and just watch the game. It was an entertaining game to watch. It was a really good game to watch, and I enjoyed it.
The one problem Rangers haven't solved yet is getting outmatched by physically dominated teams. And we saw that in the Stanley Cup against the Kings when they lost. They just physically dominated. They have their speed, but when it comes against strength, they simply just lack in that. And the Islanders right now have been that team, and they're for real, apparently. This year they've been for real.
Where do you think the Rangers can go this season?
To conference finals.
You don't think they can go to?
I don't think they go back to Stanley Cup. I don't know if they can.
You think the Islanders can go to the Stanley Cup?
They could get to Stanley Cup, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders and Rangers meet up in the Eastern Conference or even in the second round.
That would be entertaining.
Yeah, that would be entertaining.
That would be entertaining for New York for sure.
And that's the Eastern Conference. Think about that too.
That would be nice. I would like to see that as a fan of sports in general. That would be fun to watch after having a horrible, you know, year in sports in New York.
I know nobody talks about hockey, and I feel like we should talk about hockey a little bit more. But you know, the audience talks more of the big professional sports. NFL,
you know, hockey deserves. Hockey has improved every year in terms of TV ratings and everything like that. But this is really good hockey is being played in New York, and it's just fun to watch. It's a lot of good fun watching hockey. I enjoy it.
I look forward to that as well. Now, aside from that team, I wanted to talk about a little bit about the debacle of the team. The worst team in the NBA. The worst team in New York right now. The Knicks.
Oh, wow. I mean,
and they're very, very horrible.
I have said this, and you and I have been together for a long time.
Yeah, right? 2 years.
I've said this. Carmelo Anthony is overrated. Right? He is a elite basketball player. We all know this, right? He can score in bunches. He's improved offensively. He rebounds. His assists. Overrated. I've also said he's not a superstar. Right?
Okay, he's borderline superstar.
When he hit free agency, I said, listen, the Knicks are going to overpay him, but they shouldn't. Just because he's not the type of player that makes other players better. He is not a leader in the locker room. Yeah. As a fan of basketball, I cannot blame Carmelo Anthony for the injuries that happened to Calderon. You know, you cannot blame him for that. Injuries happen in the sport. I cannot blame him for injuries that happened to his own body. He's been injury prone the last year and a half.
Yeah, now he's got a knee injury now. He just did the surgery. I don't understand him. You understand that knee issues are lingering, especially as you get older.
He's been in the league for, say, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
He has never been to a championship game.
Well, he's been to the conference.
He's been to the conference championship game.
To the finals.
But just to show you, and he's had good players on his team, so there's no excuse. There's no excuse. The Knicks have a lot of problems, but I think they overpaid Carmelo Anthony. One. No, they ship away J.R. Smith, which I've been saying to just ship him away. I am upset they ship away Shepard because I love Shepard.
For no reason. For nothing.
They did ship him away for nothing. Yeah. But now they have salary cap space for shipping off J.R. Smith. Right? It was a good move for Smith. Shepard.
I'm actually done with Shepard, be honest.
I'm not.
This guy has no offensive
talent. He has potential.
He is 6'5" for no reason.
His three-point shot has improved tremendously.
He's 6'5" for no reason.
He's a defensive stopper.
Okay,
don't give me that.
Yeah, but he's 6'5" for no reason. I'll tell you why he's 6'5" for no reason. 6'5", 205 pounds for no reason. Because he has no offensive game whatsoever with that size and his speed. Oh, he has defense.
He has improved offensively.
He doesn't even drive to the basket a lot.
However, but his three-point shot has improved.
Yeah, but he's got more of a jump shooter when he should be more of a driver.
Okay. I agree with you there. However,
Jimmy Butler.
He has improved his offensive game. It could be, yes, he improved his shooting, and he's becoming more of a shooter. But he's becoming a good shooter, a solid shooter. And, you know, have you seen in the NBA for a while now, the Trevor Ariza's, you know, they're good defensively and they hit you with a three-point shot.
Matthews.
Exactly.
Butler, those guys.
Those type of guys. So I liked the type of play he's becoming. To send him off, you know, Timothy Mozgov got traded
for
two first-round picks.
Now, he was one second-round, apparently.
No, he got two first-round picks. Cleveland gave up two first-round picks for Timothy Mozgov. It's crazy.
God.
I think the Knicks are going to turn things around. I mean,
you think they're going to be good in the draft? That's the key.
Everybody's like just going crazy for Okafor.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I think I think there are a lot of good players coming out this year other than Okafor that can benefit
the
Knicks. But
he's put next thing coming since Patrick Ewing 30 years ago.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to put that much. I would say this. There are two basketball teams in New York. A lot of attention have been on the Knicks. Now, the Nets, they've been 500.
Up and down. They trained their players away.
They have been
Tony, Darren Williams is done.
He's done.
You don't believe me, but he's done.
I would like to see what Phil Jackson do next.
Yeah.
You know, even in this debacle, he has taken responsibility. He said, listen, this whole debacle is on me, not on Fish. Fish has done a good job.
Yeah, give him that credit. Yeah.
You know, try to implement this scheme and everything. I like Fish. He's very professional. I like Derek Fisher as a coach. He's very professional in this horrible season in basketball. And I would just like to see the Knicks finish strongly. And I would like to see them do well in free agency.
They're getting blown out in states, okay?
Listen, man.
It's not even funny.
I said they were going to be bad.
Yeah, but not this bad.
I never thought it was going to be this bad.
Like, they get blown up by 20 or 30 points.
Let's just finish this, right? Carmelo is getting paid the big bucks for making big shots, right?
Big shots for what? He's injured.
Melo hasn't made big shots. When you look at most of the games the Knicks have lost, it's in the fourth quarter, last 2-3 minutes of the game. When you really look at the Knicks game and analyze it and break it down, the Knicks have lost games in the last 3 minutes of the game. That's where they lose majority of these games. So, yes, they're horrible. But when you look at how they're losing, that's the difficult part. Because they have a superstar. This is injured now. But when he was playing and he wasn't injured, you have a superstar and he still haven't made the play that he's getting paid.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying?
What are we going to do with a guy who's been injury prone?
It's been a great weekend of sports. We have so many things that happen in sports. We have football and everything. Oh, what's the score for the Patriots?
It's still, let's see here, because, you know, it's just been a blowout.
I'm just, you know, keeping you fans.
45-7 for
45-7 Patriots against Colts.
4 minutes to go. So the game is pretty much over.
So
wrapped it up. Pats and Seahawks Super Bowl.
What's your Super Bowl prediction?
I might just say it right now, Leon. I say Seattle.
I say Pats.
The reason why I say Seattle is because of Russell Wilson.
And I say Pats because of Tom Brady. I would like to see. My Giants are not playing, so I would like to see Tom Brady
first of all,
win a Super Bowl championship.
You got to root a Boston team to win a Super Bowl.
Listen.
What kind of New York fan are you?
Listen, I love my New York teams. I do.
You don't root for Boston.
I'm not rooting for Boston. I'm rooting for
Tom
Brady.
You're rooting for Brady to win.
I'm rooting for Brady.
So you're rooting for Brady to win.
In terms of legacy, he can still solidify himself.
Solidify an angry, as one cocky of the person.
Greatest NFL quarterbacks in history.
I will not root for a guy who's a jerk to everybody, who screams for everything and complains.
Listen, this is going to be his sixth Super Bowl, so you know that he did something right.
3-for-6. I'm telling you right now, he will lose the Super Bowl. If he
I think
six.
He's four. He's going to be 4-2 in Super Bowl. I think the only
actually going to be 3-3.
3-3.
In my opinion,
I don't think so. I disagree with you.
50%.
One of the big things that happened this past weekend. Transitioning. It's what you call transitioning. One of the big things that happened this weekend was, in boxing, we have our first heavyweight champion in America. Yes, they still box. In the past decade, Deontay Wilder, congratulations. He put on a hell of a show against Haitian's first heavyweight champion, Beware Stiverne. It was a very good, entertaining match. I enjoyed it. It was no knockouts. Deontay Wilder is 33-0, 32 knockouts. Pretty impressive. Now the news in boxing. Jay-Z had his first show in the past two weeks ago.
Yeah.
First boxing show was a success. He had Fabulous performed with a ridiculous hat on. Boxing in New York is turning up. So there's a lot of sports that's just doing well in New York. It's coming up. But there's a lot of great boxing events in New York. Hockey is doing well in New York, both teams.
Yeah, at least we're not talking
New
about
York
them,
teams
but, you know.
Are just there's a lot of great sports happening in New York.
Yeah.
Any last words, my friend?
Well, you got four minutes here, and the only thing I've got to say is this: as a person that seen so much action in the past, well, I guess 3 hours with the Seahawks and Packers.
Great game.
And now that we know the Patriots have beaten the Colts, which I thought would be a closer game, but I guess it was another blowout. I have to say that Seahawks and Patriots are pretty much mirror teams if you think about it. You have one era that's about to end, and you have another era that's just beginning. And you see the similarity between Brady and Wilson earlier in their years. Great defenses, manager quarterbacks that make great plays at the end, playmakers. And this would be an interesting matchup.
But I think they're more than manager quarterbacks. I think they prolong plays when you least expect it.
Yeah, they're playmakers.
They're playmakers in their own right.
Yeah. You
know, Tom Brady slides in a pocket. He buys time. He's that way. He's not a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
But he does get around in the pocket, and he always finds some open receiver, tight end, who, you know, you don't know where they get him from.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson make a lot of plays with his legs.
Yeah.
The play he made tonight was just
Garon, yeah.
makes him into a superstar, even bigger than last year. Right? So,
great
they
defenses.
Mirror each other because they have great defenses, solid offense.
Yeah.
They're solid offensively. But I like Brady in this one just because his career is coming down, like you said. It's like something of passing off the torch. But Brady's like, listen, I'm still here. I'm still here.
But Wilson
this
beats,
is my sixth Super Bowl.
Wilson beats Manning, and then Wilson beats Brady. He'll be 11-0 against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Yes, it's a great stat to look at.
Yeah. So just think about that. He'll be 11-0. He beat Tom Brady. He'll still be undefeated. And then the torch has basically been passed on to Seattle of a great dynasty that could be a great dynasty in this next decade.
I think Seattle, if they win the Super Bowl, saying that they will.
They win, in my opinion.
Then there's going to be talks of, are they a dynasty? Especially if they come back strong next season.
Let's say Wilson wins the MVP, let's just say the Super Bowl. They will put him up there in that category as one of the elite quarterbacks, despite his 4-interception game against the Packers.
Man, I do think he's a top 15 quarterback.
I think if he wins the Super Bowl and he wins MVP, he'll be a top 5.
Top five.
Either way, he entered to this league.
Who do you take out of who would you take out of the top five if Wilson wins the Super Bowl?
Drew Brees is out.
Really?
It's gonna be now. It's Rodgers, Brady, Luck is up there now. You got Wilson, and now with Joe Flacco's play, I have to put him in there. That's my top.
I'm sorry, I cannot put Joe Flacco over Eli Manning. I'm not doing it.
Look, Eli Manning is not an elite quarterback. We're going back to this conversation again. He's not an elite quarterback.
Eli Manning is an elite quarterback.
No, he's not.
He is an elite quarterback.
He had this conversation already. He's not.
Eli Manning. There's no way you can put Joe Flacco over Eli Manning.
Look at Flacco's stats compared to Eli.
Look at Eli. Look at his stats. You'd be surprised.
Flacco on the road is seven wins on the road.
I want to thank you for joining us for another hour.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I know we didn't get any calls today, but we had a very good discussion of all of the NFL mostly, and a little bit of Ranger hockey, and of course the NBA. This is Raymond Moore, and here
I am, Brian White,
on Sports Talk 1240 AM.
And have a blessed night.
Yep.
Program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.